Public radio is here for you. It doesn't matter how old you are, how big your home is, or what kind of car you drive. WOSU and NPR connect you to news and information in civil conversations. That's why 43 million Americans listen to NPR each week. WOSU is part of our community, covering and discussing issues important to you, standing with the facts. Meet the moment with WOSU. Go to WOSU.org/protect. This podcast was recorded Thursday, May 29th at 10:29 a.m. Things may have changed by the time you hear this. Yeah, like former Cincinnati City Council member and one-time U.S. Senate candidate P.G. Sittenfeld will announce he's running for governor now that President Trump reportedly has pardoned him. Democrats need a guy with good name ID, and Sittenfeld has it because of his bribery conviction a few years ago. There's no such thing as bad publicity. Let's talk politics. This is Snollygoster, WOSU Public Media's weekly look at Ohio politics. And all those Snollygosters, those shrewd politicians who look for your vote each year. I'm Mike Thompson. Coming up in the podcast, this week's award-winning shrewd political move likely makes for some awkward conversations behind closed doors at the Ohio Supreme Court. But first, taxes. Who should pay and how much? Very old questions that lack clear answers. Taxes have come to dominate the political debate in Washington, and they loom as a growing concern at the State House. The U.S. House has narrowly approved extending the Trump tax cuts passed a few years ago. That package also eliminated taxes on tips and overtime. The bill cuts taxes for families with children, and it cuts income taxes for people who pay high property taxes. Now, to pay for all those tax cuts, or at least partially pay for all those tax cuts, lawmakers will reduce Medicaid spending by requiring recipients to work and tightening eligibility standards. The bill also cuts federal food assistance funding. While there is no big, beautiful bill at the State House, lawmakers are looking for ways to help homeowners deal with high property taxes, and there is that constant push to lower, even eliminate, the state's income tax. To discuss the thorny issue of how to pay for all those government services we want, we turn to this week's panel of experts. Reporter Joe Ingles from the Ohio Public Radio State House News Bureau, Joseph Mass, a Democrat who is a member of the Ohio Hispanic Coalition, and Republican strategist Bob Clegg. Bob Clegg, first to the House plan.
Yeah.
This bill still has to get through the Senate, long way to go, but it keeps the tax cuts, cuts Medicaid, and also increases the deficit.
Yeah.
It doesn't seem like anyone's happy. Is this good policy?
Well, the problem we got with the deficit is neither party has the wherewithal to cut spending to a degree that would affect the deficit. And, I mean, basically, you'd have to cut a big portion of our federal government to really start affecting it. So what we're doing as Republicans is trying to grow it so that when you're looking at the deficit to the GDP, we got to grow that GDP to make that deficit percentage go down. And that's the key to keeping us economically healthy as a country.
And that's where the tax cuts come in.
That's where the tax cuts. Now, the problem with the tax cuts is if we hadn't continued them, we would have ended up with the largest tax increase in our nation's history. So we had to keep them. If you're making over $50,000 a year, you're going to get a tax cut.
Well, no, your tax cuts remains the same.
But you keep, your taxes won't go up.
Yeah.
And we're in a situation now because of what happened in the previous 4 years where people can't afford a tax increase of any kind. And, you know, you saw that on a state level. We're not going to be increasing taxes.
So, Joe, where's the balance?
You know, it's interesting because I think that Bob and I agree 100%. Except sort of in a mirror image, because my view on it is that neither party has had the wherewithal to increase taxes and to allocate them to those who can't afford to pay it. In reality, about 70% of taxes are paid by the top 10%, as it is today. 60% of the value, this is according to the Wharton School, 60% of the value of the bill as passed by the House will go to that 10% of the people. Bob is correct that middle class did receive a modest reduction during the last go-around, Trump won, that will now continue and will become permanent. What I have a problem with is that in order to justify that, and it's probably because what I find frustrating is that the whole topic of raising taxes, and yes, I've said it, I'm the Democrat, raising taxes, that isn't even brought up. Instead, what you do is that you cut the people that can afford it the least, the folks on Medicaid, which, by the way, lots and lots of seniors are on Medicaid as well as Medicare. Joe, and that's a frustration.
Joe, you need to talk to Chuck Schumer, because Chuck Schumer is upset because the SALT ceiling is $500,000. And that means people over that, you know, won't be getting it. And he thinks that's unfair. Well, and those are the people that should be paying.
SALT is the state and local taxes. It's the what we talked about, how people who pay property taxes, high property taxes, get a tax credit on their income taxes, pay lower income taxes.
Yeah.
Joe Ingles, the State House, they're looking at eliminating the income tax on overtime and tips. But that's money people earn. Shouldn't that be taxed like any other earnings?
Well, the sponsor of it, Brian Lawrence, says that, you know, he remembers when he was a server and how hard it was to get those tips, and he wants to make sure that people who work for tips actually get to keep that money. But you're right in that there are a lot of questions from a lot of people who don't get tips and who happen to just draw a regular paycheck to say, wait a minute, I work hard for my money too. Why am I not getting a break? They are considering different tax proposals at the State House. Many of those are for property tax, though, because that seems to be the thing that lawmakers say that their constituents complain about the most.
But you got to pay for stuff, Bob.
Yeah,
you got to pay for roads. You got to pay for schools. You got to pay for that $2 billion tax incentive package for Intel. I mean, government needs money. So how do you solve that problem?
It's a big problem. And I don't know. And once again, as we always talk about these problems, they never get solved. Well, why don't they get solved? Because they're big problems.
There's a lot of little special interest groups.
Yeah, that are in this. Well, I mean, just, Mike, think about how bad this would be if we that group that is passing around petitions to do away with property taxes altogether. What's going to happen to our funding system if that passes? I mean, I'm aware enough that I know that, you know, if you take away those property tax dollars, you got to make up a lot of them. Yeah. It's somehow, some way, whether through sales tax or whatever, fees, increased fees, it's got to be made up.
You know, the federal income tax break for folks who pay high property taxes, basically, they're saying to the folks who pay the high property taxes, you don't have to press your local officials or your state officials for why they're charging you so much in taxes. You get a tax break on the federal side. That doesn't seem fair to, I mean, not that our property taxes are dirt cheap, but they're lower here in Ohio than they are in New York or California.
But barely. As a matter of fact, Ohio happens to be one of the states that has the highest, but for the simple reason that our tax structure is heavy towards the property taxes, and that allows the General Assembly to then continue to reduce the business and personal income tax, believing that that's the way that they're going to retain population, as population otherwise would continue to leak away.
I always say that the way to solve problems, solve Social Security, how to fix it, is the base closure commission. Remember the base closure commission? Mm-hmm. They had a commission that looked at all the military bases after the Cold War ended and said, this one closes, this one stays open, this one closes. And Congress had to pass it, yes or no. It kind of took the politics out. Joe, any thoughts of that? They have a commission to say, this should be the tax rate, this is how we should divvy it up. Take it or leave it.
Oh, I can just imagine what it would be like to cover who gets on that commission and how, because that would be a big deal. But, you know, there that would work in one way. In theory it would work. But I think we're not even close to something of that consideration. And I do think that the lawmakers, when you talk to them, they are trying to play with different things, tinker with different who gets a tax and, you know, rebate, who gets how they get the money. But I, you know, like Bob said, it's a complicated problem.
Very. And I think, you know, what you're talking about, Mike, That only occurs in government when we have a crisis. Mm-hmm. And, I mean, if you're looking at the federal level, you're looking at, what, 2035 when Social Security goes bankrupt, or 2034 when Medicare goes bankrupt. It's going to have to be that kind of a situation before everyone comes together to solve the problem.
Yeah, and they will. They'll figure it out, because to do nothing would be...
Well, yeah. They know the alternative is not
acceptable.
You'd
be out of office in a minute.
Yeah.
Yes, lawmakers will solve Social Security, because if they don't and it goes away, they won't be lawmakers anymore. We'll be right back.
Planet Money helps you understand the economy. We find the people at the center of the story.
Garbage in New York, that was like a controlled substance.
We show you how money influences everything.
Tell me what you like by telling me how you spend your money.
And we dig until we get answers.
I had a bad feeling you're going to bring that up.
Planet Money finds out. All you have to do is listen. The Planet Money Podcast from NPR.
Now, the breaking news in the 2026 race for governor continues to be Jim Tressel continues to think about running. The lieutenant governor and former OSU football coach says he is still considering entering the Republican race for governor. After Attorney General Dave Yost dropped out, Tressel would be Vivek Ramaswamy's strongest opponent on the Republican side.
Joe Ingles, where is Jim Tressel? Is he? I mean, he's always plays, no pun intended, his cards close to his vest, his famous vest. And he's just new to this job. He's not going to jump in yet. So where is he on this? What's your sense?
Well, he says he's studying. He's looking at the possibility. He's learning from Governor DeWine. He's interested, but he will not say where he stands on this. We tried to pin him down. We asked the question over and over different ways.
Give you a timetable? Summer, the fall?
I asked him when the course ends. You know, he's studying. When does this course end? When do you take the test?
When's the final exam?
And he said, you know, at some point there will be a time.
Yeah.
But he wasn't specifying. He did say talk to the governor. And, you know, but I think the thing is that when you look at the situation, Governor DeWine, who is in line to take his place at this point, it looks like Vivek Ramaswamy. Vivek Ramaswamy is saying, oh, he wants the tax cuts. He wants, you know, getting rid of fat in the government, Ohio Doge, that kind of thing. If you talk about getting rid of fat in the government, for the bulk of the last 30 years, Republicans have been in charge of the government.
Yeah. Bob, has the Republican Party moved past the establishment Republicans? Mike DeWine, of course, is one, and Jim Tressel is new to the job, but he's in that same generation.
Well, I mean, it's right now, if you're a Republican running in a primary in Ohio, you're in good shape if you've got the president's endorsement, President Trump, and that's what he's got.
Yeah.
I'm not sure if Jim Tressel wants to run more than Mike DeWine wants Jim Tressel to run.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that's, I don't know, but I think it's, you know, he can't wait. And now he's got some, I mean, Jim Tressel, the one thing he's got going for him, he's got, what, 99% name ID.
Yep.
So he doesn't have to buy it. He's got time.
Yep.
He can wait until December 31st of this year and say, I'm going to run.
Yeah.
But a lot, you know, that's not all that common. Most people have to do it well in advance.
He's doing some of the behind-the-scenes stuff. He's doing a lot of public appearances.
He's doing Lincoln Days, ton of Lincoln Days,
and also a lot of public appearances as lieutenant governor. So he's
On X all the time.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Two things can happen. Number one is that the folks that have backed DeWine financially through the years get together and approach him. I think that that would be a phenomenal advantage because, after all, it is about money. The second unknown is Democrats. We do have open primaries. And Bob is making faces for a very legitimate reason. And I agree with him because I think I'm in the minority among Democrats that might come up and say, look, we may not stand a chance here against Ramaswamy, but we might stand a chance to put Tressel in the driver's seat. And he's certainly less offensive to us than Ramaswamy would be.
It's an open primary unless Sherrod Brown decides he's going to run for governor, because that would clear the field, right?
I don't think, but I don't think that's where his heart is. Mm-hmm. But there might be somebody else.
Or Tim Ryan. Yeah. I mean, Tim Ryan's talking about it. I don't know if Amy Acton drops out necessarily. If Tim Ryan gets in, she probably would with Sherrod Brown.
I wouldn't expect her to drop out.
Yeah. No. So, I mean, you could have a primary on your hands. So,
I mean, all of these candidates, Joe, the three we just mentioned, aside from Tim Ryan, Amy Acton, Jim Tressel, Vivek Ramaswamy, they're all pretty much rookie politicians. Vivek ran for president for a short time. Mm-hmm. Tressel's never run before, and Amy Acton, this is her first run. I mean, that's kind of a big chance for these parties to put their faith in.
Yeah, but that's what people want. I mean, Donald Trump hadn't run for office before he became president. I mean, people seem to want the less experienced person. So I'm not sure that experience plays into it.
Had never
yeah,
run before.
I mean, you know, Bernie Moreno. I mean, just go down the list of who's been elected. Experience has not been a quality that the voters want.
Which pretty much gets to your question about establishment. I mean, establishment, I think in either party, an establishment candidate isn't all that. Is not what voters seem to want on either side. They want somebody from the outside that either can shake things up on the Democrat side or bring new ideas on the Republican side.
And there's no, Amy Acton would be a fresh face.
Oh, yeah.
But, you know, but that's really all Democrats
and she's
have.
Doing much better than I anticipated out on the trail, from what I understand. But at the same time, here again, you know, we've got the situation with the money, the expectations. And do you go all in, so.
Time now for our Snollygoster of the Week segment, where we honor the shrewdest politician or political move of the past week. This week, we give it to Ohio Supreme Court Justice Pat Fisher. He does not have to run again until 2028, but he has decided to run next year for a different Supreme Court seat, the one now held by Democrat Jennifer Bruner. He said that he plans to beat the sole remaining statewide Democrat on Election Day. That alone is pretty shrewd for a judge, of course. They're supposed to be above politics, but anyway. But there is more snollygostering. You see, even though his term ends, he cannot run in 2028. He'd be 71 years old. And Ohio's Constitution says state Supreme Court justices cannot be elected after the age of 70. But they can serve, they can continue to serve, if they are elected before they reach the age of 70. Winning Jennifer Bruner's seat would allow Pat Fisher to serve another 4 years on the Supreme Court. And, get this, if Fisher happens to lose to Jennifer Bruner next year, he gets to stay on the Supreme Court, just in his current seat. Any way you cut it, this is pretty shrewd. And for that, the Honorable Supreme Court Justice Pat Fisher gets our Snollygoster of the Week Award. That'll do it for this week's edition of Snollygoster, which is part of the NPR network. As always, try to give us a good review on Apple Podcasts or wherever you get your podcast, and just tell your friends and family about us. For our student producer, Katie Genius, our digital producer, Michael DeBonis, and our audio engineer, Dalton Jones, I'm Mike Thompson for Snollygoster from WOSU Public Media. We'll be right back.